If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with an humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body and the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises, declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people being penitent the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all them that truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
reading from the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way lies, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I raised up sentinels for you. Give heed to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not give heed. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I am going to bring disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not given heed to my words, and as for my teaching, they have rejected it. Of what use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor are your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, see, I am laying before this people stumbling blocks against which they shall stumble, parents and children together, neighbor and friend shall perish. Here endeth the first lesson.
Thank you. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. It is not as though the word of God had failed, for not all Israelites truly belong to Israel, and not all of Abraham's children are his true descendants. But it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as descendants. For this is what the promise said: about this time I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. Nor is that all. Something similar happened to Rebekah when she had conceived children by one husband, our ancestor Isaac. Even before they had been born or had done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose of election might continue, not by works but by his call, she was told, "The elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, 'I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau.'" Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The words of this evening's anthem, Holy, 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 were written by the Austrian physicist, librarian and poet, Johann Neumann. The music is by the Austrian composer, Franz Schubert. The anthem is taken from Schubert's German Mass. Although he only lived until he was 31, Schubert was a prolific composer, writing some 600 songs and 9 symphonies. He composed this piece in 1827, near the end of his life. Holy, holy, holy.
I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Cream. No, not the stuff you put on cake, the rock band from the 1960s. I'm looking over there. The band who made popular the blues song of Robert Johnson, written in 1936, called Crossroads. I expect even if you would claim little knowledge of the blues or of Cream, you would know the song. A song that has made its way into the popular imagination about the black musician who sells his soul to the devil. It came to mind when pondering those words from the ever cheery Jeremiah, goodness me, he could do with cheering up a bit, who evokes the image of the crossroads as being a place where a choice can be made, a choice to walk where the good way lies and you can find rest for your souls, or not. At the crossroads, Johnson asked the Lord for mercy because he was singing of how it is hard to make the right choice sometimes. And we who strive to walk in the good way that Jeremiah describes can all testify how hard it is too. In our time, of course, choice has become a virtue, it seems to me, a right. Something that seeps into every corner of our life. The choices before us as consumers is a good example, for we all know the bewildering range of items from which to choose in the supermarket, to choices about our electricity and gas supplier, the internet and telephone, to where we buy our clothes, and so on. All good, some might say. This expansion of choice has brought down prices. Well, it may well have done, though cheap is not always good. But aside from that, surrounded we are by so many choices, I wonder if, as a consequence, we're not sure where to draw the line, particularly when it comes to thinking about more complex ethical decisions. Should we be able to choose when life ends, for example? After all, it is my life, or at least that is what many choose to believe. How do we know where the good way lies when there are so many choices before us? Some would say that the role of the church is to offer a strong lead in the midst of this, to hold the line against the prevailing culture. Others would wish the opposite, that we are irrelevant and so behind the times. I expect the truth lies somewhere in between the two, as we hold up a mirror to society, unafraid to ask awkward questions, and remind the wider society just why some of the choices before us are not always good or easy. But away from that big picture, what about you and me? What about the way before us and the choices we must navigate? How might the faith which has drawn us here, shaped our lives, continue to inform the choices we make? Because it seems to me that we stand at a crossroads daily and have choices to make. It's not easy. But there are, I think, choices that lead us to life and goodness, and choices that lead us, perhaps subtly, to death and destruction. Choice is, of course, part of being human, part of what God has chosen for us. For God could have chosen to create us as robots, slaves who obey, but God chose to give us choice. God gave us free will because God loves us. And for love to be love, it cannot be demanded or dictated. It has to be returned freely, joyfully, because we choose. That choice, in a way, began at our baptism when, perhaps as a child, our parents and godparents said, as best they could, that they choose that their child would be shaped by the Christian story. A story, of course, grounded in the person of Jesus Christ, who over time shapes our choosing to draw us away from the selfish to the selfless, from the self-possessed to the self-giving. When Robert Johnson went down to the crossroads, it was as if he was asking for a sign. He wanted a clear sense of God showing him the way to go, and he laments that the sign is not forthcoming because everyone has passed me by, he says. Sometimes we too long for a clear sign faced with the multitude of choices before us daily. It is hard for us to know. It's also hard to let go of deeply ingrained ways of seeing and being in the world. That's why the worship we offer, the words we say, are given to help fashion in us the capacity to make the right choice. For we know that we have all erred and strayed and followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts, as that memorable confession from the Book of Common Prayer we've used this evening puts it. Yet we know too that God desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. And so we leave forgiven, restored, and hopefully renewed in our commitment to choose the way of love. The way embodied by Jesus that shapes the choices we make. Whether it is making sure we buy clothes not made in sweatshops, or choosing our utility company that uses green energy, or being a lone voice who speaks up for the sacredness of life, and so on. To live making choices that do not diminish the life of another, and that reveal us to be the followers of Jesus, trying to live as we hope he would want us to. So to return to the example of shopping, we do not choose the cheap clothes and just see the price tag, because we know that the new t-shirt has likely been made in the most squalid of conditions. And whilst I know that things are often more complicated than that, I think we'd all acknowledge that sometimes simple shifts in our choosing can bring about a real change. So we stand daily at the crossroads, and pray that we might strive to follow the good way and one choice at a time find rest for our souls. Lord God, rule in our hearts, direct our decisions, guide our choices. Let your kingdom grow in us, that we may live and work to your praise and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gracious God, we offer you our prayers, those for the church, the world, and all people. You bring us in your love to worship you here, and we give thanks for the opportunity to be in your presence and serve you. Strengthen us all in the service of Christ, that we may honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for the world, the diversity of the seasons, the beauty of creation, and for all the goodness that you give us. We give thanks for the open places to walk and exercise, for rest and relaxation, for the coastline and the parkland. We are mindful for those who aren't as fortunate as us, for those who cannot live in freedom. We pray for anyone who live in fear, those in danger in the many troubled parts of this world. May all the world leaders act with integrity for their own people, and all those who make decisions on our behalf do so for the benefit of everyone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as the world is ever changing, you are the constant source of hope and light. as the world looks towards restrictions caused by the pandemic being lifted. Then we pray for the time we shall once again be able to meet properly and worship you with music and song. Today the church celebrates Music Sunday, an opportunity to give thanks for all church musicians and for the gift of music in the life of the church. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Giles, our director of music. We give thanks for his talent and dedication, the gift that you have given him of providing us with music for our worship. We give thanks for our choir and pray for those who have participated in services and enriched our worship throughout the pandemic. Bless us, O Lord, us thy servants who minister in thy temple. Grant that what we have said with our lips we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts we may show forth in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, you know that we are frail and vulnerable and in need of your healing. Pour upon us your spirit of wisdom, of counsel and well-being to us all. We pray for a renewed of spirit within us. In a moment of silence, we offer those names to you, Lord, of anyone on our hearts and minds this evening. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We entrust all those who have died to your safekeeping, and we pray for all those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you have made us in your image to reflect your goodness. You have called us to use our gifts to build your kingdom. Give us wisdom and help to use our skills to your glory and for the building up of people we serve. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.